Good morning. Thank you for being such a warm and welcoming group of people this morning. I always feel like I'm coming home here as I come and share with you fellowship, and I've been blessed to come here for the last 10 or 11 years, and I'm glad to see faces that I know and people, and I've oftentimes taken away prayer requests from you, prayer for a daughter struggling with cancer at Mayo Hospital, and prayer for someone who had just lost her husband. And of course, I'm always praying for my dear brother Bill and for the wonderful ministry here. And I'm so glad to be here with you on such a beautiful day. I'm an Arizona native where I've never had enough rain. And so I just thank God for this beautiful blessing from the sky. Both sides of my family came here because of something known as Roosevelt Dam that both of my grandfathers loved the idea of being able to order water. And here where we get, only about 6 or 7 inches of rain a year, we have golf courses and lakes. And my wife and I, we live down in Scottsdale, especially during the height of the COVID, we like to get up early in the morning and come and walk around your beautiful lake. And so feel very much at home with you here today. I love your worship service, and Fountain Hills Presbyterian is often in my prayer. Being people of the Reformation, one of the high points in a worship service is what we call the prayer of illumination. We pray that the Holy Spirit descend upon his word and that the Holy Spirit speak to us, that beyond a human voice that we might hear the voice of God. My prayer of illumination this morning is an old hymn that a chorus that I learned as a boy, and I'm going to just change one word. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Amen. I am at a time in my own personal life and in the time of the life of our country, the life of our world, that I am increasingly feeling called by God to pray. The best thing that I can do for you is to pray for you. The best thing I can do for my grandkids who are struggling to get back to school in the midst of COVID is to pray. Didn't Jesus, when he cleansed the temple, didn't he say, "Don't you know that my Father's house is to be called what? A house of prayer." Unfortunately, I'm not hearing a lot of prayer going up from churches today, but it's certainly what we are called to do, to pray. I think of the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who's known as the Prince of Preachers. Some regard him as the greatest preacher in the history of the English language. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "I'd rather teach one person to pray than 10 people to preach." I feel that. I was very much struck by the words of Billy Graham shortly before he died as he was interviewed by Greta Van Susteren. And Billy Graham said, he says, "If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have traveled as much, I wouldn't have preached as much, but I would have prayed more." I very much feel that. At 3 o'clock in the morning, praying. Stories of my grandchildren, the need to pray. Stories of friends, loved ones, the things through which we're going at this very difficult time. How we need to be people of prayer. I love the words of C.S. Lewis as he says, "We want to know not how to pray if we were perfect, but how to pray as we are now." That's what I want to know. And this morning I'd like for a few moments to look to you, to that master of prayer, the Apostle Paul. You know, there's an old hymn says that if you cannot preach like Peter and you cannot pray like Paul, Paul is a master of prayer. After Paul's Damascus Road experience, the first thing you see Paul doing in Acts 9, he's praying. Early church tradition says that the last thing that Paul was doing as he laid his head upon the chopping block, that he was praying. You read the book of Acts, you read Paul's letters, and you see that Paul is always praying, and he's seeking to enlist others to pray. And so my text this morning is taken from Ephesians 3 that I think is a good summary of the way that the Apostle Paul prays. I still have a lot to learn about prayer. For many years, my prayers were kind of like a Santa Claus wish list, you know. Paul really helps us know how to pray. And I want you to notice it in our text, and I'm going to be following closely the text as it is printed there in your order of service. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul is praying this prayer in Ephesians 3 as he is concerned about Ephesian Christians who are losing heart. They're suffering. They know that the Apostle Paul is suffering, and he's concerned that they're losing heart. My concern for many churches today, my concern for many Christians today, in the midst of one train wreck after another in the past couple years, is that we might be losing heart. How do we pray for one another? How do we pray for our children? How do we pray for our loved ones? And I think this is a model prayer for Christians who are discouraged, for Christians who might be losing heart. And notice that the Apostle Paul, he begins by he's saying, I bow my knees. Did you know that the traditional posture of prayer for Jews was to stand? But when they really meant business, they would bow on their knees, but not just bow as we bow, but they would fall prostrate before God. We know things on our knees that we don't know elsewhere. And how often times in my own life, when I was really wanting to do business with God, even with knees that were hurting, I would bow my knees. Paul says, I bow my knees. And from our text this morning, I just want to highlight four words that I think stand out here. The word strength, love, knowledge, fullness. And it helps me to visually think of these four words as like climbing the steps of a staircase, a ladder. Each word is going higher and higher to God. Notice that the first thing that Paul prays for, and I'm really feeling burdened to pray for in my own life, Paul prays that the Ephesian Christians who are losing heart, he's praying that they might be strengthened in their inner person. Isn't that striking? Because we live in a culture that is so focused on the outer person. Beauty, fitness, health, which is important. But even more important is the inner person. We learn that from our Lord Jesus Christ, that he says we are transformed from the inside out. We learn from the story of David that God looks on the heart. And so Paul begins his prayer for his Christian sisters and brothers. He says, I pray that you might be strengthened in your inner being. When I was a chaplain at Mayo Hospital, I learned to pray for a patient, first of all, to be strengthened in their inner being. I was sharing with my brother down here this morning that I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, though the outer person is perishing, the inner person is being renewed day by day. So whatever it is that we're going through, we're not going to lose heart if we pray that we might be strengthened in the inner being. Notice he says, I pray that God would grant this. This is something that we're given. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we deserve, but we ask that God would grant to be strengthened in the inner being with power through his Spirit. That, for me, that means a letting go of ego. That means a letting go of self-sufficiency. Strengthen with power through his Spirit. Like as the Lord said to the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 4, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And why our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem and to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would come upon them with power. So we're talking about something that can be ours as we ask God that he would grant it. Strengthened with power by his Holy Spirit. A few years ago, my wife and I had the wonderful opportunity to eat dinner and to spend an evening with a young Iraqi family. They knew that they needed to leave Iraq when ISIS was beginning to cut the fingers off of girls that were going to school. They had gone through the trauma of leaving their homeland, gone through the trauma of a refugee camp in Jordan, and then the trauma of coming to Phoenix, Arizona in the month of June, a totally different culture. They came from what is the oldest church in the world. They're in Iraq. In their church services, they speak Aramaic, the language of our Lord Jesus. And the wife, who was the most fluent of them all, I would converse with her. And I asked her to pray the Lord's Prayer as our Lord Jesus would in Aramaic. And it was so beautiful. And in our course of conversation, I mentioned the Holy Spirit. She didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. I mean, she didn't know the words, English words. And so she got out her iPhone that had a dictionary, and she looked up Holy Spirit, and she said, power. And I thought, dear Lord, teach me what she knows. That all the travails through which she has passed, and she knows that the Holy Spirit is power. So as we might be losing heart ourselves, as we know others who might be losing heart, we pray that we might be strengthened in that inner person with power through the Holy Spirit. And notice that Paul prays this. I love this. He says, according to the riches of God's glory. Not out of his riches, but according to his riches. If I went to the world's richest person, and I have difficulty keeping up with who that person is, but go to the world's richest person and say, would you give me from out of your riches? It might be something, but give me according to your riches. That's huge. So we pray that God would give us power in the inner person by the Holy Spirit according to the riches of his glory. That's what I'm praying for my friend newly diagnosed with cancer. That's what I'm praying for a friend in deep grief, that might happen in their life. Paul says, I think, that's the first step of his prayer. Strengthen the inner person. He takes another step, which is love. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted. For me, as a farm boy, that comes out of the world of agriculture. We want roots that go down deep into God's love. Grounded. Architecture. We want a building that's on a strong foundation. I pray for Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. A lot of things I could pray for, but I pray that you might be rooted and grounded in love as Christ dwells in your hearts through faith. I find that really interesting. If I went to a little child in the children's Sunday school department and I would say, where does Jesus live? They'd be real clear in their theology. He lives right here in my heart. Paul is using a word here, kataokeo, which is a little different word for dwell. It means to dwell down deep, to be at home. I mean, we might go and visit a place and spend weeks in a place, but it's not home. He prays that Christ would really be at home in their lives. As mentioned earlier, I like to focus on a ministry of helping us to move from our head to our hearts. For me, that's been a million-mile journey. That the Christ might be settled down deep in my heart. There came a time in my long Christian life I said, Lord, I want to know you in the way that I learned to sing as a boy, that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. We ask that the Christ would dwell down deep in our hearts. And as we do that, we become rooted and grounded in his love. We get to know him more and more. The little book of 1 John tells us that God is love. That is God's essence, his being. Which means that God could no more stop loving you than God could stop being all-powerful, omnipresent. For you to be rooted and grounded in his love. Between December 18 and December 28, in 1995, the Hubble Deep Space Telescope circled the Earth 150 times, focused on taking pictures in a dark spot in the sky. Astronomers had looked there, and all they could see was darkness. And after those series of photographs began to come back, astronomers were startled that what was in that dark spot in the sky were galaxies upon galaxies. So that as recently as January of this year, astronomers revised some of their calculations and they estimate that there are more than 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe. Okay, you and I, we are part of the Milky Way galaxy that is 150,000 light years across. Hey, there's at least 200 billion more of them. I share that story with you only to emphasize when God does something, he does it big. When he creates big. And when God loves, he loves big. Look at the manger. Look at the cross. That we might be rooted and grounded in that love. Think what that would do for Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. Think of what that would do for us individually. Trevor Francis was a young man standing on the Hungerford Bridge late one night looking into the dark waters of the Thames River. He was going to take his life. And then he remembered what he had learned as a little boy about Jesus. And from that experience, Trevor Francis went on to write that great hymn, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling like a mighty ocean in its fullness over me is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above." So we pray for strength in that inner person that we so need. We pray that we might be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ as we come to know him more and more living within us. And then the third step up I see here as knowledge knowledge. Notice he says, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I'm going to pray for you to know something that you can't know. It's impossible for you and me to know how much Christ loves us. And he says, comprehend with all the saints. That means that I really need you people at Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. We really need those other Christians. Maybe who worship in a little different way. Maybe believe a little bit different things. But to comprehend, we all need this. To comprehend with all the saints. And that introduces one of Paul's favorite words in Ephesians, and that is church. We really do need each other. I needed those Iraqi Christians who spoke a different language. They ministered to me. We need those Christians who have a little different way about following Jesus. Notice the progress here that Paul is making in his prayer. That Christ dwell in our hearts. He's down deep in our hearts by faith. More at home with us. We're grounded deep in his love. And we're ready to explore the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of God. When I was in seminary, I had a classmate who was really struggling with prayer, as many of us have. He went to one of our favorite professors and he said, Would you help me with prayer? The professor said, yeah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and I want you to talk to God for 5 minutes, and I don't want you to ask him for one thing. I just want you to be with God. 3 steps so far. Strength, love, knowledge, to know that which can't be known, to know that which we're going to know really with all the saints, which takes us to the 4th step, which is fullness. To know the love of Christ so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I almost think Paul's asked too much there. To be filled with the fullness of God. The Greek word that he uses actually has the idea of to be filled up to. Okay? It's like trying to fill a teapot with the Pacific Ocean. Okay? That you might be filled up to the fullness of God. My wife Reed and I just finished our Advent devotional that I very much hope to be able to share with you. And in that, the main theme of the Advent devotional is that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that we could be sons and daughters of God. Loved as Jesus is loved by the Father. That is to be filled up to the fullness of God. But we have to pray for it. We have to seek it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. James says, remember, he says, you have not because you ask not. Maybe our prayers have been too small. To be filled right up to the fullness of God. I'm going to try to say this reverently, respectfully. The gospel is more than fire insurance, okay? The gospel is that God wants to share his very life with us. To share his love and glory. That we might be filled up to the fullness of God. Now, if this were not the great Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Christ, I would say Paul you've asked for too much. Surely. But look what he says in verses 20 and 21. Now to him who by the power at work within us, we already have it. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask. We haven't asked for enough yet. Far more than we can ask or imagine. I love the story of the Queen of Sheba as she came to visit King Solomon. She had heard of his riches, she had heard of his wisdom, she heard of his glory. Remember what the Queen of Sheba said? Not even the half has been told. Can I say that of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the goodness and greatness of God, not even the half has been told. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of anyone what God has prepared for those who love him. And he's not just talking about heaven, he's talking about here and now, because he says these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. There's so much more that God has for us, that he'd love to give to us as we ask. And then Paul ends his prayer. He says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of the 60s, okay? We used to say, Jesus yes, church no. Did you know that churches have problems? Did you know that sinners go to church? Isn't this the amazing grace of God? To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. That means that what God is doing in you here, it's going to go on to all generations, bringing glory to God. To him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen. As my granddaughter said to me one time, Grandpa, it's not amen, it's amen. 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 I grew up thinking that amen was a way to signal people that I was through with my prayer. It's a wonderful Hebrew word. It comes from the backwaters of the Roman Empire, from a little group of people, so that wherever the gospel has gone, the word amen has always gone, whether it's Russia, whether it's China, whether it's the USA, we all know how to say amen, which is an old Hebrew word meaning, Lord, I'm trusting, I'm relying, so be it. So we're praying this, relying on God's working in our lives because we've asked. So beginning this year, I set out wanting to know more about prayer, and so we put together the little devotional that's really based on this prayer of the Apostle Paul. I call it inspired prayer because Paul really knows how to pray. Inspired prayer, daily prayer with Paul. And we'd like to just leave this with you as a gift and to pick it out, pick it up on the way out. And so, dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence within us, and we pray that you might continue to renew and transform us, that we might be more like Jesus, and that others would see him in us. We pray to your glory. Amen.